not letting fear win. You know, that's what I feel people who do these types of things would want you to do, to run inside and hide. And ultimately, if you do those things, it's letting them win. I know that my friends that we lost wouldn't want that.
Jasmine Warner, a resident of Colorado Springs, speaking at a community vigil there yesterday. She says she was friends with some of the victims who died Saturday at the LGBTQ bar Club Q after a gunman burst in, killing 5 people and injuring 18 others. The suspect is expected to face murder and hate crime charges, according to court records, but no formal charges have been filed yet. Suspect has a history with law enforcement, which includes making a bomb threat back in 2021. We're going to learn more about who the victims were in a moment. But first, let's get the latest on what we've learned about what led up to Saturday's shooting. Abbanay Clayton is the lead reporter for a project at The Guardian called Guns and Lies in America. Welcome to Press Play.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Okay, so the suspect, 22 years old, has had already a history with law enforcement. He apparently threatened his mother with a bomb. He said he had a bomb, and this was in June of 2021. Tell us more about that incident.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, in June of 2021, his mother alerted law enforcement that he had threatened to bomb the home with her inside and with a homemade bomb. So she called police officers. A bomb squad ended up coming. They had to evacuate folks. They determined that there wasn't a firearm, but reports say that his mother mentioned that he does have firearms and ammunition. There was an original criminal complaint, I believe, filed, but there's no indication that there was any convictions for the threat against his mother, or any sort of domestic violence charges. So that's really all we know, is that this incident happened. You know, police were called. It seems quite serious if an evacuation was ordered, but things mm-hmm. start to get a little more opaque when you talk about convictions and, of course, you know, removal of guns after.
Right. However, Colorado does have a red flag law, and that allows guns to be removed from people deemed dangerous to themselves or others. So how is that supposed to work in cases like this, where there was a bomb threat made and the suspect has guns?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, in the ideal implementation, a family member, a police officer, I believe in Colorado's case, even a concerned neighbor, teacher, something like that, can petition a court for a what's called an extreme risk protection order. And the basis would be, you know, a credible threat, a history of threats, a history of domestic violence. There's quite a range of circumstances under which someone would file this sort of petition. And in the case of the 22-year-old suspected shooter out of Colorado Springs, you know, a police officer or a sheriff's deputy would theoretically be empowered to petition a court, even if the family member was uncooperative, and pursue a, like I mentioned, an extreme risk protection order. It's also called an ERPA, you know, because it's quite the mouthful. But if it is accepted by a county judge, these things are implemented locally. So it would have to be, you know, petitioned by someone by a resident, and then a local judge would accept it. And there are increments of time that somebody's guns would be taken from them. And I think it begins at 2 weeks and then can increase by 6 months. Some people have their guns taken from them, or they're barred from buying them for up to a year. It's a civil procedure, so it's not like you're going to have a felony or a criminal complaint on your record. But in Colorado's case, it is supposed to be a tool that people can use when they see someone who can be a possible risk to themselves or someone else, whether or not they have a firearm, or there's already been a criminal conviction.
And we don't know if this was pursued at all in this case.
No, we don't. Unfortunately, that's another opaque bit that there's been much speculation about.
Meanwhile, Colorado Springs is in El Paso County in Colorado, which has declared itself a Second Amendment sanctuary. So mm-hmm. how does that complicate using the red flag laws?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, just a little bit of background there. This county, El Paso County, first designated itself as a Second Amendment preservation county is the kind of exact language that they used. And it became a resolution in 2019 when it was clear that the governor was going to sign their red flag bill, also called the Violence Prevention Act. And it was named after a sheriff's deputy who was shot and killed by somebody who theoretically should have had an ERPA put out on him. So that a little bit of background there. And what it does, it doesn't necessarily mean that people who live in the unincorporated areas of the county are exempt from any gun laws. It doesn't mean they don't have to follow state gun laws. And it also doesn't mean that they don't have access to ERPA petitions. It doesn't mean that they are disallowed from using the red flag bill. However, it does say that the county, the Board of Commissioners, won't put any money, won't put any, you know, sheriff's power behind implementing gun violence or, you know, extreme risk protection orders.
Right.
And yeah.
So it might give it also an indication then of the state of mind of many residents or officials in that county. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It was nice to be on.
That's Abbanay Clayton, lead reporter for The Guardian's Guns and Lies in America Project.